Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah, Daf Tezayin. We will begin on Daf Tezayin, Amud Aleph, six lines from the top, Gufa, Amar of Ami Bar Tavyumi. As the Gemara had indicated in the previous shiur, Rav Ami Bar Tavyumi holds that if an item of material was disqualified for Schach, because it was Mekabel Tuma, even if something should change in its status, it still remains disqualified as chach. Gufa, Amar v'ami batavyumi, sicha bevloi kalim. If somebody uses worn out pieces of clothing as chach, psula, they're disqualified to chach. Ask the Gemara, my beloi kalim. What does that mean? Amar baya, matlonius, it means pieces of clothing, shein behem sholosh or sholosh, that are not three etzbos by three etzbos. The lechazian, which are not usable, loyla aniyim veloyla shirim, not for poor people, not for wealthy people. And as Tosfos explains, even if we'll have someone who will want to use a piece of material this size, the fact that he has this machshava does not make it into a suitable piece of clothing, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. Other Rishonim explain, as we've said on a number of occasions, all of the halachas regarding shiurim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that a piece of clothing, a material that's not three etzbos by three etzbos, is not mekabel tuma. Says the Gemara, Tanya kavosei derav bivatavumi, machzela shel shifa v'shel gemi, a maid made out of different types of material, like rush, rubber, sharye, if it's left over from that mat, even though it's less than the size that's makabel tuma, still a mesach mehen cannot be used for schach, because since it was once makabel tuma, it was once a keli, it remains permanently disqualified. The Braisa continues speaking briefly about the halachas of mats for schach, something that we will discuss more later in the Masechta. The halacha is that a mat that's made for sleeping is disqualified for schach, even if it's made out of straw, because it's mekabel tuma. Says the Braisa, machzel sakanim, a mat made out of reeds, gedoyla, if it's a large mat, the Tanakhama holds mesach and bar, can be used for schach, because large mats, one finds a mat, such a mat in the street, he could assume that it was not made for sleeping. Large mats are not made for sleeping, and someone can use it for schach. Ketana, however, a small one, may not be used, because we should assume that it was made for sleeping. Therefore, it's a keli, it's makabel tuma, and it's possible for schach. Blaz Oimer, af hi mekabel tuma, even a large mat is mekabel tuma, aim mesachin ba, and therefore may not be used for schach. Blaz holds that even a large mat found, we should assume, or at least be concerned, was made for sleeping on, and therefore since it was made for sleeping on, it's a keli, which is mekabel tuma, and therefore may not be used for sukkah. Says the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, "Hachoitet begodish." If somebody hollowed out a haystack to make a sukkah, so we learned in the Mishnah that that's not a kosher sukkah. As we learned, that's the classical example of tasa v'loy mina osui. Amrav Huna, loy shana el she'en shem chalal tefach b'meshach shifa. This halacha only applies when there isn't a cavity below the haystack that has a height of one tefach and a length of seven tefachim, which is shown in diagram 88 on page 30. Aval, im yesham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva, if we start with a cavity the size of a height of a tefach by seven tefachim, hareza sukkah, this will be a kasha sukkah if we hollow out up another nine tefachim to have walls that are ten tefachim tall. So as the Rishonim explain, the psul that we have been discussing of Tasa V'loy Min Asui only applies to the schach not to the walls. Here, we're dealing with a situation where we have kosher schach. We have schach covering an area which is 7 tefachim by 1 tefach in height, which is the minimal size of a sukkah. So when we now go and raise the roof, so to speak, to have a height of 10 tefachim, that is only to correct the walls of this sukkah, not to correct the roof of the sukkah. When did the Torah say there's a disqualification of Tasa V'loi Menosui? Say the Rishonim, an explanation of this Gemara, it's only on the roof, which, as we've learned, the schach is the crucial element of the sukkah. But the walls, which are not the crucial element of the sukkah, even though we're going to be ending up with a situation that these walls were created through Tasa V'loi Menosui, that doesn't disqualify the sukkah. Tosfos discusses why is the minimum height a tefach, because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, the Mishnah taught us that a sukkah, gaba sukkah, one sukkah on top of another sukkah, psula, the upper sukkah disqualifies the lower sukkah. And the Gemara discussed what is the minimum size of the upper sukkah that it should be considered a sukkah, that it should have the ability to disqualify the lower sukkah. So as Amanda Omer said, one tefach. So we see that the minimum size of a sukkah is one tefach, and therefore here, since I have the height of one tefach, halachically I have a minimal sukkah, and therefore I can continue in hallowing out the area. However, Tosfos asks, what's going to be the halacha? Because in that Gemara, Tosfos says, we learned two other shittas. One other shita said that the minimum size is arba tefachim, and Shmuel said that the minimum size was 10 tefachim. So Tosfos says, according to Shmuel, that says that the minimal height is 10 tefachim, that can't be, he will certainly not say that that is relevant to our sugya. Because certainly, says Tosfos, if we were working with a situation where we already have 10 tefachim height by 7 tefachim, that's a kosher sukkah. There would be no need for our Gemara to tell us there were a lot of hollow out. There's no need for hollowing out. We have a kosher sukkah. So certainly according to Shmuel, although by sukkah al-gabi sukkah, the halach is that in order for upper sukkah to disqualify the lower sukkah, we need 10 tefachim, that will not be the halacha here. The shaila, however, is, according to the man Omer who held over there, that the upper sukkah, in order to disqualify the lower sukkah, has to have 4 tefachim. What will he hold in our sugya? Will he hold in our sugya also that in order for us to be able to allow hallowing out, for us to allow choytet begodesh, we have to have at least a minimum height of 4 tefachim? Not like what our Gemara is saying, that we only need a minimal height of 1 tefach. Or perhaps, just like Shmuel, who held over there, you need 10 tefachim by sukkah gabi sukkah, he will agree 1 tefach is enough. Could be he'll agree here too, that this mandamah, that although by sukkah gabi sukkah holds, you need 4 tefachim, regarding the halach and our Gemara, 1 tefach will be enough. There's another shaila, which is discussed by the Rishonim. We're starting with a sukkah that's 1 tefach high by 7 tefachim wide. Let's say this, and now he's hallowing out to get to 10 tefachim height. Let's say the person, besides wanting to hallow out the height, also wants to hallow out into the depth. It doesn't want just a minimal sukkah of 7 tefachim. What will be the halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that since in that extra area we didn't start off with a cavity a tefach high, so that would, on the rest of the area, would have an issue of tasa v'loi menasui. However, other Rishonim say that since we began with a sukkah that is a kosher sukkah, 1 tefach by 7 tefachim, I just need to raise the roof to get the proper height, I can also dig in and will not disqualify the sukkah because I started off with a kosher sukkah. Tani Nami Hochi, says the Gemara, there's a braisa. And the braisa says, Hachoytet begodesh las loy sukkah, if somebody hallows out a haystack to make a sukkah, ha-raise a sukkah, it's a kosher sukkah. Ask the Gemara of Anantanan, but we learned in our Mishnah, ain't a sukkah, that hallowing out a haystack is not acceptable. elav shmamina. How do we reconcile the Braisa and the Mishnah with Rav Huna's halacha? That our Mishnah is discussing a situation where there was no cavity, and therefore Chayta Begadish remains a situation of Tasa v'loy min asui. The Braisa, however, is speaking, as diagram 88 showed us, that we began with this cavity of one tefach high by seven tefachim, and therefore it's not considered a situation of Chayta Begadish. Shema Minah, from here we see that Rav Huna's halacha is correct. Ika, the Ramalei Mirma. Another version of saying this. It's asked as a kasha, as a steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Tana, nachayt begodesh, lastly, sukkah, our Mishnah says that somebody howls out a haystack, ain't a sukkah. Ask the Gemara, votanyo, I raise a sukkah. The Braisa says it is acceptable. On that, amrav huna, loy kasha. If we start with this cavity, then we don't have a situation of tasav loy menasoi. That's the case of the Mishnah, where we don't even have this cavity. There, hallowing out remains a situation of tasav loy menasoi. The Mefarshim ask, usually when the Gemara quotes two versions, there's a halachic nafkamina, there's a halachic difference between the two versions. What is the difference between the two versions here? So they want to use a shaila in the Rishonim to answer this question. There's a shaila in the Rishonim. When we discussed our example, diagram 88, when we started with this cavity, and we're now going to expand the walls, that they should have the right height of 10, there are two ways of achieving that. One way of achieving it is by digging into the ground and now up to another 9 tefachim, and now I'll have walls of 9 tefachim, of 10 tefachim, the existing 1 tefach plus the new 9. Or another way of achieving walls of 10 tefachim is by digging into the haystack and digging up to the point that I'll have walls the height of 10, and the rest of the remainder of the height of the haystack will be the schach. So the Ran and the Tosfos Rid have machloikas and how to understand Rashi. The Ran says that certainly when you're digging into the ground, that will be acceptable. This hay that was on top of this cavity was always the schach, will remain the schach. My only concern was I didn't have walls that are 10 tefachim high. Now by digging into the ground, I do have walls that are 10 tefachim, and the sukkah is fine. However, says the Ran, if one were just to want to remove hay that's above this tefach high cavity, that I should now have a cavity 10 tefachim high, that would not be acceptable, says the Ran, because what was originally designated as the schach, the hay that was right above the cavity, will no longer be here, and that therefore would not be acceptable. Tosfos Rid, however, says it makes no difference how I get the 10 tefachim, whether I dig into the ground or if I dig out hay. As long as I have walls that are 10 tefachim high, this is not an issue. Say to Mefarshim that perhaps that is the nafkamina between the two versions of what the Gemara is saying. The first version of Rav Huna will hold that only when you dig into the ground will that be an acceptable approach, how to make this area a kosher sukkah. However, emptying out area above this cavity will be unacceptable. And the second version holds, it makes no difference how we end up with walls that are 10 tefachim high. Since we started with this cavity, it's an acceptable sukkah. This Gemara could be relevant l'aloch l'maisa. Let's say someone wants to build a sukkah in his home. So the right way to do it is to cut out a hole in the roof and put schach there. But let's say the person, for whatever reason, wasn't doing it that way. What he did was, he had the roof and he put schach on top of the roof. The aloch will be that if the schach is above the roof a tefach, that will be our Gemara, and the sukkah will be kosher, again, provided that it's by Zion, or according to the Shulchan Aruch, another Rishonim, it should cover the entire area that I want to use as a sukkah. But if I'm just going to put schach on top of my roof and then cut out the roof, that would be a situation of tassiv leimun asri and unacceptable. We've also discussed the shaila on the other hand. Let's say we have a roof and we put schach below the roof. So when we put the schach, it's disqualified because it's under the roof. Or the shaila would be, let's say somebody's building the sukkah and it's a rainy day. So he keeps the awning open while he's building the sukkah. And he puts the schach below the awning. So when he's putting on that schach, it's disqualified schach. And then he'll open up the awning, he'll open up the roof. Will that be tassav leimun asui? And we said that the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, holds that that's not tassav leimun asui, because there was nothing inherently wrong with that schach, and therefore it's not considered tassav leimun asui. There's another shaila which is discussed based on this Gemara. The question is that all the Rishonim certainly agree that the proper way of building a sukkah is to first make the walls and then put the schach on top of it. What would be the halacha if one were to first put the schach and then make the walls? Is that acceptable? And some Rishonim want to say that in our Gemara we're dealing with a situation that we had at least minimal walls. But if we had no walls and just wanted to make schach and then make the walls, it may be unacceptable. The Taz raises another issue. We've discussed that Rabbeinu Tam holds that schach, which is rainproof, very thick schach that doesn't allow the rain to penetrate, is possible. As the Taz, in our Gemara, we have such a thick layer of straw that probably won't let the rain penetrate, so how could this be a kosher sukkah? So the Taz says, a very bechiddush, that when is a rainproof sukkah possible? He says, only when it's in a regular house. So if you have schach that's so thick that doesn't let the rain come through, and it's in a regular house, so there people will think that you're sitting in a regular house, and therefore it's possible. However, when one is sitting in a haystack, even if it's rainproof, it certainly doesn't resemble a house, and therefore you can have rainproof schach even according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbah disagrees, and he says that in the case that we're discussing, that we have the sukkah in the haystack, certainly we're going to have to loosen up the straw to the degree the rain will be able to penetrate. Says the Mishnah. Before we say the Mishnah, just as we finish the sugya of Tassav Leiman Osui, just to say something of Pidrush. And the first say that what does Tassav Leiman Osui represent homiletically? One pshat I saw is that we know that Avram Avinu was Midas HaChesed. Yitzchak Avinu was Midas HaGvura. Why did Yitzchak follow the same path his father took? Because he said that everybody has to make his own derech and avodas Hashem. He has to blaze his own way. Tasa, a person should make his own derech and avodas Hashem. V'loy mena osui, don't just rely on what you have seen from previous generations. Another pshat that I saw is that it says in Pirkei Avos, in Mamadat Torah Harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachsa toiv l'atzmecha, don't think that you've accomplished such a great thing. Kilkach nitzata, that is why you were created. Says the Mefarshim, a Jew's perspective should always be tasa, what is left for me to do? How much Torah do I still have to learn? V'loy mina osui, and not just accept and reflect on what he learned already. Says the Mishnah, Hamashal shel defanos, if somebody makes walls for a sukkah, milmala lamata, going downwards, this is diagram 89. The halacha is, im gevayim an aris shloshet tfachim, if there's more than three tfachim from the wall to the ground, psula. If there's less than three tfachim, we obviously say lovet. Milmata milmala, if somebody is making it from the bottom up, in Gvaya Tzarat Fachim, if the wall is Tzarat Fachim high, Kshera. Diagram 90. Here the Mishnah is saying that since I have a wall of 10 Tfachim, this wall is considered an acceptable wall, and even though there's so much space in between the top of the wall and the schach, it doesn't disqualify the sukkah. Rabbi Yossi is even more makel, and he says k'shem shemata mamala asar tfachim, just like we just learned, diagram 90 is acceptable even if there's more than 3 tfachim from the top of the wall. Since I have a wall, kach mamala mamata. Similarly, we go back to diagram 89. If I have a wall that's 10 tfachim, even though I have a space below the wall of 3 tfachim, it's still kosher. What is the basis for Rabbi Yossi's psak? Because what Rabbi Yossi is discussing, as we will start learning in the Gemara immediately, is a situation of a mechitza teluya, a suspended mechitza. And the question is a mechitza teluya considered a mechitza or not? Tanakama holds it's not. Rabbi Yossi holds it is. What is the basis for Rabbi Yossi? So some say that Rabbi Yossi subscribes to the concept of good asik, which pulls the walls down, or chavit rami, similar concept. Or the Pnei Yeshua wants to explain Rabbi Yossi as saying that the Aloch l'Moshe Mesinai, the Aloch of Shurim, tells us that once I have a wall that's 10 tefachim, that is a kosher wall for the sukkah, and it makes no longer any difference if there is space and how much space there is between the wall and the floor. B'mayka Miflagi, so as says the Gemara, what is the machlokes between Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi? Mar Sava, Rabbi Yossi holds mechitza teluya, a suspended mechitza, materis is still considered a mechitza, and therefore we have an acceptable sukkah here. Mar Sava, and the Rabbanim, the Tanakama obviously holds the mechitza teluya and a materis. Says the Gemara, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Erevin that discusses diagram 91. The halacha is that in order to carry in a chatzar, where there are many houses opening to a chatzar, we have to construct an Erev Chatzeris. In order to carry between two chatzeris that are neighbors, it's permissible. But there have to be two conditions. Number one, there has to be an opening between those two chatzeris, and then we make an Erev Chatzeris. Number two, in this situation, as the diagram shows us, there's a wall dividing these two chatzeris. So since there's a wall dividing these two chatzeris, an Erev Chatzeris would not be effective. But this wall covers, as the picture shows us, a well from which people on both sides of the wall, people from both chatzeris on the two sides of the wall, draw water to drink and use on Shabbos. So now the issue is, if people on one side of the wall want to draw the water, as we know water mixes, so they're essentially taking water from the other side. They're not allowed to carry from one chatzar to the other chatzar. So the question is, how could the people on the two sides of the wall continue to be allowed to use the water in the wells, in the water in the well on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Tanan Hassan, the Mishnah says in Masech the Erevin, Barsh ben Shtei Chatzeris, if there's this well between the two courtyards, partially in one courtyard and partially in the other one, Emim Elamim Shabbos, you can't take water from the well. The two people on the two sides of the wall cannot take water from the well. Elam can Aslam Mechitza Sarat Tfachim, unless they make a petition which is 10 Tfachim high. Says the Mishnah, Beimel Mala, it makes no difference if it's above the water, Beimel Mata, whether it's below, Beimel Teich Agnoi, even, or it's within the well itself. Shimagam Lila says, the Beshama Imrim Mamala, that you have to make the wall within the, inside the pit, but it could be on top, well above the water, as long as it's below the rim. Or Beisela Aimrim Milmata. Beisela say, only if the partition is close to the water. Rashi has this girsa in the Gemara, and according to this girsa, Beis Shammai is more lenient than Beis Hillel. However, Tosfos have a different version in which Beis Hillel are the Mekilim and allow this wall to be built Milmala, and Beis Shammai require that we be built Milmata. Amr Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, there is no need to build any wall. There is no need to build a new wall. The wall that's already existing, as we see in this diagram 91, could serve as the wall to separate the two chatzeres, and there's no need to make more. Why? Because even though this is a mechitza teluya, Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us that a mechitza teluya is acceptable. Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Abachana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Beshitas Rabbi Yossi Amra. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying that we can rely on this wall, it's a mechitza teluya, it's a suspended wall, he obviously agrees with Rabbi Yossi that a mechitza teluya is considered a wall. Dama mechitza teluya materis, says the Gemara Velayhi. We don't necessarily have to say it. We could say the loy Rabbi Yehuda savlak Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't necessarily agree with Rabbi Yossi. The loy Rabbi Yossi savlak Rabbi Yehuda. Nor does Rabbi Yossi necessarily agree with Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara explains loy Rabbi Yehuda savlak Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't necessarily agree with Rabbi Yossi because ad kan loy kam Rabbi Yehuda hasam. You know where Rabbi Yehuda was makel and saying that a mechitza talui is considered a mechitza el beruvich etzeres drabonin. When we're dealing with the issue of carrying within the chatzar, where really this entire area of the Raisa is a Rishus HaYochid, where one should be allowed to carry. It's only Gzeir Drabonon that doesn't allow us. So for that, we can rely on a Mechitza Teluya. Aval Hocha, where we're trying to construct a Sukkah de Raisa, Loi, Rabbi Yehuda will not agree that a Mechitza Teluya is sufficient. On the other hand, the Loi Rabbi Yossi Savalek Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda, because at kan lam kam Rabbi Yossi hacha el b'sukkah the mitzvah sasei. Where we're dealing with sukkah, which is only mitzvah sasei, that's where a mechitza teluya is enough. Aval Shabbos, this is skila, where Shabbos we're dealing with, we're carrying is a skila. And as the Rishonim explain, even though in this specific situation, there is no it's a skila, but carrying on Shabbos does involve in this skila, loy, perhaps Rabbi Yossi will not hold that a mechitza teluya is sufficient. Ask the Pnei Yeshua before we go further in the Gemara. Why is the Gemara not prepared to say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda? Why wouldn't it be better to avoid a machlokes? Says the Pnei Yeshua. Since throughout Shas we have a rule that Rabbi Yossi Nemukei Imoi, Rabbi Yossi is always correct because he had a very deep analytical mind, to go and apply Rabbi Yossi's psak past where he said it is something that we have to be very careful with doing. Because if we'll say that Rabbi Yossi's psak is not only regarding Hilchos Sukkah, but it's also regarding Hilchos Shabbos, once we say that Rabbi Yossi's psak is that applies to Shabbos, that will become the halacha, because we generally paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So before we do that, we have to be 100% certain that that is something that we may do. Vim timer, ask the Gemara, there is a situation where we'll see that in Tzipori, where Rabbi Yossi was the Rav, they relied on a mechitza teluya for Shabbos. There was a story in Tzipori which the Gemara will soon quote, where they relied on Mechitza Teluya Apim Menei Nasa. According to whom were they relying? They were probably relying on Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi was the Rav there. So we see that Rabbi Yossi, even on Shabbos, relies on Mechitza Teluya. Says the Gemara, Loi Api Rabbi Yossi. That story wasn't done by Rabbi Yossi. Ella Api Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. It was done by his son, by Rabbi Shmuel. So we still don't have a proof that Rabbi Yossi ever subscribed to the concept of Mechitza Teluya regarding Hilchos Shabbos. Says the Bach, if we're saying that Rabbi Yossi did not rely on a Mechitza Teluya for Shabbos, it was his son his successor, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, that did. So we see that a Rav that comes to a town could disagree with a previous Rav. Even a son could disagree with his father, who is his predecessor. Says the Tumim, there is no Raya. Because it's not Pshat in our Gemara, says the Tumim, that Rabbi Yossi was Machmer. And then his son, Rav Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, came and said, I'm not going to agree with my father, and I'm going to be Makel. What happened here was that Rabbi Yossi never issued a ruling regarding a Mechitza Taluya B'Shabbos, and his son did issue a ruling. So he wasn't contradicting his father, he was issuing a ruling in a situation that his father never discussed. Ask the Gemara, my Maisa, what is the story that the Gemara is referring to where they relied in Tzipori on Shabbos on a Mechitza Taluya? Says the Gemara, the Chasar of Dimi Omar, they forgot to bring the Sefer Torah to Shul on Erev Shabbos. And now we're referring to diagram 92. They had a Shul in a Chatzar, but they did not leave the Sefer Torah in the Shul all week because they were concerned that it wasn't safe to leave it there. They used to leave it in one of the houses that were in that Chatzar, and on Friday afternoon they would carry the Sefer Torah and bring it to the shul. It should be there on Shabbos to be used. Here, the issue, however, was that they forgot to bring it on Friday, and this chatzar did not have an Aruve Chatzeris. And as we just explained, without an Aruve Chatzeris, people may not carry from their homes to the chatzar, even though it's from Rosh Hashanah Yachad to Rosh Hashanah Yachad. Lamacher, so what did they do the next day? Pirsu Sadinim al Gabi Amudim, they spread sheets out on top of post, as is shown in the diagram here, and Viviyu Sefer Torah, and they brought a Sefer Torah for Karba, and they referenced Sefer Torah. The sheets that they erected served as a partition from the rest of the courtyard, and even though these sheets did not reach the ground, they were Mechitza Taluya, and a Mechitza Taluya is acceptable. So we see they were relied on a Mechitza Taluya. So as the Rishonim explain, what happened here is, as our diagram shows us, we have all these homes opening to the Chatzar, but they didn't make an Aruve Chatzeris. So by putting up the sheets, we separate the front two houses. They're not an issue anymore. So now we only have the house on the right, where the Sefer Torah is, and the shul. The people in the house, explained the Rishonim, Mu'avatl Rishus, ceded any ownership in the Chatzar, so they therefore are not parties in this Chatzar that they should never need to make an Aruve Chatzeris. The entire Chatzar belongs to the shul, and therefore other people may carry from this house the Sefer Torah to the shul. The people who live in the house would not be allowed to be the ones carrying the Sefer Torah from the house to the shul, because if they would then carry the Sefer Torah from the house to the shul, that would show that when they were mevatel the rishus, it was meaningless, because he was still walking in the chatzar, carrying the chatzar. Doesn't that show that it's still your chatzar? And therefore, other people were the ones that carried it. But ask the mefarshim, if that's the situation, how did the people from this house here on the right get to shul on Shabbos if they're not allowed to walk through the chatzar? So the Rishonim explained that they had another way of walking from the back of the house around the back to get to the shul, and therefore did not have to walk through the chatzar. Furthermore, we see, says the Magen Avraham, and the Sfasemis explains the Magen Avraham this way, that it was only the people from the house that had to cede their rishus. But the shul did not have to seed any rishus in the chatzar, because if they had to seed rishus in the chatzar, then again, carrying it would be counterproductive. They didn't have to do it, because the shul is not really considered an area of dwelling in the chatzar. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, the minig was that if there are houses and a shul and a chatzar, the Erev Chatzeris was left in the shul. Says the Magen Avraham, that's the worst place you can leave it. If the house is not considered a dira in that chatzar, the Ruve Chatzeris have to be left in, the Erev Chatzeris has to be left in a dira in that chatzar. The shul is not a dira, so it's the worst place to leave the Erev Chatzeres. Ask the Gemara, Pierce Sakadatach, how could you say that they spread these sheets on Shabbos? Mechan Avim Shabbos. How could they have been carried on Shabbos to be spread out? Says the Gemara, Ella, what happened here was, there's an issue of carrying, and Tosfos also raises there's an issue of spreading out those sheets, which may be constructing an oil. Ella, Matzu Sadin and Prusma Gabamudim, it was that these sheets were already spread out from before. What was the issue? That it was a Mechitza Teluya. What was the issue? That the people in the Chatzar had to cede their domain. But they said, if the people in the Rishus will cede the domain, we could rely on these sheets hanging, even though it's a Mechitza Teluya, and the Havi Sefer Torah, and based on that, bring the Sefer Torah of a Karbar and read it. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, based on this Gemara, we see that even the Mokum Mitzvah, even the Mokum Mitzvah, the Rabbim, here we have a situation where people have to read from the Sefer Torah, we are not allowed to abolish, we're not allowed to be Mevatel, Agzer, the Rabbonim. Because the Isser, the prohibition of carrying this Chatzar, is only Agzer, the Rabbonim, yet, even though it's only Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, if we did not come up with this approach that our Gemara just explained, we will not have been allowed to carry, even though it's L'Tzarech Mitzvah D'Rabban. Omar Rav Chisda Omar Avimi. Machtzelas Abu Mashu. Sometimes we can have a mat, which is only a little wider than a four tefachim. Materas Besuk Mishum Daifin. And that could serve as a valid wall for a sukkah, which is shown in diagram 93. Hey Chavit, Tolei Be'emtza, if we have a sukkah which is exactly 10 tefachim high, put this mat, which is a little more than 4 tefachim, in the middle, so it'll be pachs mishloish lamata, it'll be less than 3 tefachim from the ground to the mat, and it'll be pachs mishloish lamala, and less than 3 tefachim from the top of the mat to the roof, to the schach. Whenever we have an area of less than 3 tefachim, kolavadami, we apply the concept of lovet. Ask the Gemara, pshita, what's the chiddush in Rav Chisda's din? That we say lovet? We've learned the concept of lovet many times. Answers the Gemara, matatayim achad lovet amrinan. We say lovet once. However, trei lovet lo amrinan, to apply the concept of lovet twice in one sukkah we don't. Mashmon, that's what Rav Chisda is teaching us, that we could apply the concept of lovet twice in one sukkah. As Tosfos, the classical case of lovet is where we have vertical sticks, could be horizontal sticks also, but we have vertical sticks, one within 3 tefachim of each other, and that's considered a mechitza, that's considered a petition, even though we're saying lovet many times. So again, we come back to the Gemara Shaila, what do we need to teach us that we say lovet more than once in one wall? So the Mefarshim explain, in our Gemara, we're using lovet in two opposite directions in one wall. One time we're using lovet to schlep up the wall for the upper half, and one time we're using lovet to schlep it down. To say lovet in one wall in two opposite directions, the Gemara is saying perhaps we don't. But to say lovet in one direction, like we have those poles, one after each other, that taka is not a chiddush that we should say lovet. Another explanation is poles that are one after another, vertical poles or horizontal poles, one after another, that's the way a mechitza looks. And therefore, to apply lovet to such a situation is sensible. However, in our Gemara, where we're just spreading out this mat in the middle of the wall, which is not really the way a wall looks, and we're saying that it's considered a wall because I'm applying the concept of lovet, perhaps to make something that doesn't look like a wall into a wall, by using the concept of lovet twice is too far of a stretch. That's what the Gemara is teaching us. It still can be used. Meisvei asked the Gemara, here we said that if we have a mat that's 4 tefachim, it's already being acceptable. Yet there's a braisa that says, Machtzelo shiva mashu, materes besuk mishim doifin, that the mat has to be at least 7 tefachim high. Answers the Gemara, Kitanya hi, when was that said? Besukah gedoyla. When the sukkah is taller than 10 tefachim, which is shown in diagram 94. Here, since the sukkah is more than 10 tefachim, so if I have a mat that's 7 tefachim, even if it's and it's less than 3 tefachim from the roof, so I say love it, so now I have a 10 tefachim wall. So even though I have now more than 3 tefachim from the bottom of this mat to the floor, that isn't an issue. Why? Because my kamashlon, this Bryce is teaching us the mishashlon, the finest malam matter, that we could apply, that once the wall is 10 tefachim, we could, the wall is a kosher wall for the sukkah, even though there's less than three, more than three tefachim between it and the floor, as Rabbi Yossi taught us in the Mishnah, that a mechitza teluya, a suspended partition, is acceptable for hilchos sukkah. Amar Rav Ami, pas abu mashaha, if we have a board that's a little more than four tefachim, diagram 95, mata besukkah mishum daifin, it will allow to be considered the third wall of a sukkah. If you put this wall, the pox mishloish tefachim samach ledoifin, within three tefachim of the wall, and kal pox mishloisha samach ledoifin, if it's within three tefachim of the wall, kalavadami, we apply the concept of lovin. And as the Rishonim explain this Gemara, we learned earlier in the Masechta that although the halach is that a sukkah can be made up of two full walls, and the third wall only has to be the size of a tefach. So we learned that there were shittas that held that that is only acceptable if the third wall, if we're going to say that the third wall is a tefach, it has to have a tzuras ha-pesach. It has to look like a doorway. But if it doesn't have a tzuras ha-pesach, then a tefach is not acceptable. Says the Gemara, if we don't have a tzuras ha-pesach for the third wall, but we still want to have kosher sukkah, bring a board that's four tefachim, a little more than four tefachim wide, place it within three tefachim of the one of the existing walls, and now we have a kosher third wall. Ask the Gemara, Mike Mashman, what are we learning here? That we apply lovet. We've already described the concept of lovet so many times. Answers the Gemara, Hakam Ashman, what this Bryce is teaching us, what Rav Ami is teaching us is that Shir Mesh of Sukkah Ketana, that the minimal size of a Sukkah is Shiva, has to be 7 Tefachim, like Beishamay taught us, that the halacha is that the minimal size of a Sukkah is Kedei Rosh Rubei Vishulchanai, which is 7 Tefachim, and therefore when we have this wall between the 4 Tefachim of the 4 Tefachim and the Mashal of the wall plus the Lavad, we have 7 Tefachim combined with the other two walls, the 7 Tefachim, so we have a Sukkah of three walls that hold Rosh Rubei Vishulchanai, and we have a kosher Sukkah.